Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! It's over, Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it, young ball continues to wear him out!
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. Basketball is back. The Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the Orlando Magic 94-85. But most importantly, Carter, Austin Carr approves of Sexland. What are your thoughts, my friend?
You know, you're going to have to fill me in here because I caught up late. And obviously he broke that Sexton and Garland were going to be starting tonight. Mm-hmm. Is that what approving of?
Oh no,
I see it now. I see it now. Holy shit.
Yes.
That's great. He says he likes it. Good job.
He will
never, ever be allowed to say that on the broadcast.
I do like that many, including myself, tagged him offering to give him a shirt. One person who really gets our show even tagged the alien gif. That is just absolutely exceptional. But yes, as I said earlier, basketball is back for the Cavs. They lose to the Magic. All in all, I felt like this was a pretty encouraging game. I'm still getting a little used to the Orlando Magic being a not bad team. They were one of the better defenses in the NBA last season. A little rough on the offensive end for them. But overall, I thought that this was a pretty good performance for the Cavs. And one number that I just came across now, I don't know if you saw me sharing this, but in 15 minutes together, the Cavs starting five had a plus 25.4 net rating.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They didn't have any lineups that did anything like that last year at any point. So that's actually very good news. I thought the starters looked like they played well together. I don't know. How do you want to approach this? You want to just talk through the good before we talk through the bad?
Well, I think we can mix it in because that's sort of how this game went, where you would have your good portions and then some of that inexperience started to come through, or you would see, okay, these guys haven't really spent a whole lot of time playing together. So yeah, I think a great example of that is to start off the game. You had that starting five that was performing well. With 6 minutes left, Kevin Love subbed out. Chris Fedor had mentioned that normally that wouldn't be the point where he would sub out, but with John Henson being out, Bayline was anticipating using him as the backup center. The only problem was we went 17 minutes of game time before that five went back out there on the court. They didn't get back together until the final minute of the second quarter, where they went on a little bit of a mini run. But that's one of those situations where you have to recognize when a unit has it going, especially your starting five, and go back to that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I think that everything kind of made sense with all five of them out there, and stuff stopped making so much sense.
Yeah.
Once bench players kind of found their way onto the floor. I mean, I think that if you were to build a team in a lab that would give this Cavs team trouble, you wouldn't build the Magic, but you might on like your 10th attempt.
Yeah, like, it gets a...
There are better teams that are going to be harder to beat, but specifically the way the Magic are constructed is they're huge, playing Isaac and Gordon at the three and the four with Vucevic, a true seven-footer at the five. So that kind of negated the Cavs' size advantage that they're going to hope to have playing, you know, Kevin Love at the traditional four. They're switchy and they're long-limbed. So I think a lot of the times we saw the Cavs struggling, it was just not being ready for just how much length they were going to throw at them. And the Cavs are kind of the opposite of that in their backcourt and even a bit on the wings, where they're mostly undersized. They don't have huge wingspans. Like they had a hard time finding good angles against this Magic defense when things weren't going well.
I agree. I feel like the Orlando Magic are what the Knicks thought they were building this year, where it's like, yeah, we have maybe two or three power forwards on the court at any one time, but you know what? They're versatile. The only difference is the Knicks aren't, whereas Aaron Gordon, he is versatile enough defensively to play the three. And when you have those three monsters out there at the same time, that's going to cause a lot of issues. I actually think Aaron Gordon has a real good shot at making an all-defensive team this year, because no one on the Magic really got props last year for that, and I think that he's kind of the obvious candidate there. I just really think a lot of him as a player. But yeah, that second unit wasn't working out, and we're going to go back to one of my favorite things. We're back in the NBA season, so I feel like we have to go back to a few of our reliable moves, and here's me bitching about Twitter. Oh, I'm not okay. Actually bitching about
it. I watched the game on DVR, so I did not watch it alongside our Twitterati.
Yeah, I mean, there were just the kind of the normal lamenting of, let's say, Clarkson and Porter Jr. playing heavy minutes together, which was a nightmare. It was really bad, and I'm not even saying anyone is necessarily wrong with criticisms from this game, but at the same time, I was sitting there, and I was like, yeah, that really sucks, but I really don't see any other options right now. Like, you kind of have to play those guys together, at least until Dylan Windler gets back, and then maybe he's going to get some of those small forward minutes. Porter Jr., man. So I thought his first shift or so, I thought he had played a much better game, where he drove to the basket, he had an open layup, or some semi-contested layup, and he had a little drop-off past Tristan Thompson. He made some good decisions out there, wasn't really pressing. And then it kind of felt like in the second half, when the Cavs were down by double digits, he thought, okay, I want to go get my first NBA bucket. And
well, not today, pal.
Yeah, not today. And Chris Manning actually made a good point, which is not a lot of 19-year-olds, and like, he's a young 19, not a lot of guys his age can create open looks for themselves that easily off the dribble. Like, his moves were really, really impressive. The finish just left so much to be desired. And
yeah, I mean, at all points, I mean, like, I think that was really the story of Porter's game in his debut was, it was the first move looks great, and then he didn't quite know what to do with the space he created for himself.
Correct.
You know, he could drive hard at a closeout, but I think he's one of those players who wants to slow down and feel that contact, mm-hmm. where sometimes you got to, before you get to be the ISO player, you have to be a straight line driver that destabilizes the defense. He would, a lot of times, especially in the first half when he was even playing a little bit better, I feel like he'd get that first step and get past his defender, and then he'd slow down and kind of let them recover. And in the NBA, especially against a team like Orlando, who has length up the wazoo, that's not going to work. You have to get those straight line drives out of the way first. But I feel like we're just naturally talking about some interesting stuff that's negative. But I do want to say this. Garland had a very imperfect game. Mm-hmm. If you didn't watch the game, I think you would see 8 points on 9 shots, 5 assists to 3 turnovers. You can think, oh, he didn't play very well. And I think that's fair to say. But also, I already know for a fact that this guy is a better passer than Colin Sexton was last year by several degrees of magnitude.
He might be the best passer on the team, really. Like,
I still think it's Nance. I really like Nance.
You know what? That's a good point.
Succeed.
But, I will give Nance. I was thinking primarily wings, but you're right. Nance, not even just for his position. I think Nance is a really good passer. But the thing I liked about Garland and this game that he had, the good plays he made were so damn good. Like, it was like, okay, that was a really, really impressive read that you made there. The shots that he hit were impressive. Those two step back threes were very, very good. He almost presents a bit of a unique problem, at least for Cavs guards that we've cycled in over the last few years. He might need to be a little more assertive and go get his own shot. I wouldn't be mad at him having a little bit higher of a usage. And so I'm sure some of that has to do with just not having a lot of time playing with these guys. He didn't play in summer league. He didn't play a lot of preseason. So this was kind of really the first game action that he's had.
Nothing will tell you that this team doesn't know its offense yet, other than looking at the shot distribution. Kevin Love only 10 attempts, one three-point attempt. No one took more than 15 shots, and that's not the way this team is built from a skill position standpoint. Like, you want Garland and Sexton and Love to be taking a lot more shots than Tristan Thompson and Larry Nance. Like, it's just a weird game. And you know, my favorite Cavs are still learning the offense thing is the little three-man weave that they started every set with that didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, the Magic just stayed in their base defense and didn't move. And it's like, all right, this is what we're supposed to do. We don't really know why yet.
Yeah, like, I had one person who had commented in my mentions that I wish I had them up here, but mentioned that this is probably among the worst matchups in the league for Kevin Love, especially when they have Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon out there. And, I mean, to some extent, I think Love was just kind of out there making, for the most part, the right plays. He wasn't really forcing anything, but they just weren't really drawing up plays for him. Or if they were, the Magic were blowing it up off ball. And when you do have a game like this, it's really not surprising for me to see Tristan Thompson come up as kind of the one guy that, as well as the starting five played together as a unit, I think Tristan Thompson's the only one that really had a plus game.
It's weird. The better Tristan plays, the less comfortable I am with how the rest of the team played sometimes.
Right. But that's because if you have a disjointed game where the team's missing shots or they're a little bit inconsistent, that's where Tristan and his energy can really come into play. And, I mean, this is also just a really good sign that he's healthy, because not only was he getting kind of those hustle plays, but he showed really nice touch on a little hook shots and things like that. And I thought overall he had a very, very good game.
Yeah, I agree. You don't need to sell me on Tristan. I'm a huge fan. I will say the Larry Nance at the four experiment did not start off with glowing results for you, boy.
Yeah. So I think the second unit as a whole really had a tough outing. They really did break away from kind of that off-ball movement and the set plays. Like, it looked like they were running an entirely different offense than the starting unit. And I think Larry Nance is a guy that when the ball is really moving and has some pop, he can capitalize. He's very, very intelligent with how he moves off ball. He kind of finds those lanes. And that it was just not that type of game, especially when the second unit was out there.
I will say something that Bayley needs to encourage him to do is when he gets boards, he should just be leading the break. His handle is good enough and his passing vision is good. So many times, like, he would catch like a long rebound, like out at the free throw line, and he just like dump it off to Garland, which, like, it's nice. I get it. You're trying to install a new offense, but like, the Cavs are going to have to score in transition and press defenses because they don't have enough options yet. And they don't know the offense well enough yet to really kill anyone. So I think he should be empowered to do that, because if not, his limitations at the four start to get a little louder.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. And I did like that he was pulling from three without any hesitation. The only thing is, and this was not something that solely occurred with Nance. There was quite a few guys that I think fell in this category. Some of those threes, it's like, I love that you're taking that without hesitation, but right now we're on the cusp of kind of cutting into this lead. It's a 12-point lead, and you taking a three with 16 seconds left on the shot clock isn't the best look we can generate. Like, let's really test the defense, take it to the rim, and try to capitalize on those moments. And I think that's going to come with time. When there's a hierarchy established within the offense, and guys get a little more comfortable with each other, they're going to have their pet plays and their go-to sets when they are trying to come back from a deficit, because I think that's going to be a situation they're in quite a few times this year. So I think that's natural, but as much as you want to show off your new toy, you have to have a little bit more awareness of kind of where you are in the game.
I totally agree. I just think that – that it's tough because they are in the learning section of their rebuild, and you know, maybe you do just say, damn the results in the short term, get those shots up so you're comfortable doing it later. But yeah, I just didn't love it. I didn't think that, and I think that if you're going to use Nance on that second unit, which I agree with, because I think Tristan's just straight up better.
Right.
I do kind of wonder, like, if you're not going to use him as a hub with Porter, Delly, and Clarkson around him, like, what are you using him for? Like,
I couldn't agree more. That's such a good point.
None of those guys are good creators, individually, and. But all of them, or I mean, Delly is a good mover, and you know, when he's not reworking his shooting form, can hit a three or two. Clarkson plays off guys better than people want to think. He just can't pass because, he missed a lot of easy reads tonight. I think it was one of the worst games I've ever seen Jordan Clarkson play as a Cav.
I completely agree. Yep.
But you know, that's okay. These guys are still learning each other. I think that there were enough flashes of, like, it's almost like more encouraging that they would have stretches where they just were like really taking it to the Magic. And then like kind of collapsing, as opposed to just vaguely getting their ass kicked all game, but not like that hard. It's like, you could kind of feel the kinks being worked out live.
Right. No, I agree. I'm very interested to see, because I think John Henson's getting a little bit close to coming back. I'm interested to see kind of how he slots in. I was also interested that Larry Nance at no point this game played any center. Like, when he wasn't out there with Tristan, he was out there with Love, and Love was primarily guarding the fives. That was something I was trying to watch closely. And maybe that might be a bit of a solution, especially when Dylan Windler gets back and you're really trying to work in even more wings. Maybe in the second unit, you go with Nance at the five. I know we've talked about kind of his struggles as a rim protector, but I think you can get away with that more with the second unit. And when you look at the stretches of last season where the Cavs kind of had those surprising games where they were playing well, and Nance was a big part of that, he was doing a lot of that at the five and being that hub. So maybe that's the adjustment you have to make. Maybe that's not necessary for him to create for other guys. But I do agree that I think he needs to be the focal point. Because if you are going to stagger him in that way, I think you need to maximize those minutes. Because he is a talented player. I think he is a good offensive player. And you just got to make sure that you're really capitalizing on the time that he's out there.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. The more he is a side, like, or like uninvolved, the more concerning his performance is going to be. Like, you kind of want him touching the ball a lot if he's out there.
I mean, you want to do whatever you can to look your best at all times, right?
Oh my God.
I mean, if you're a man, of course, you want to make sure that when you are wearing a suit, it's a good looking suit that's fits just right. And that's why our boys at Indochino have the hookup for you. Indochino was founded on the belief that you don't have to spend a fortune on a custom wardrobe. Indochino is the largest made-to-measure menswear brand. They make suits, shirts, coats, and more, and everything is made to your exact measurements for a great fit. The best part is that they're affordable. Almost all of their custom clothing is under $400 US, which coincidentally is the price of my Canadian home. start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Plus, shipping is free. That's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. An incredible deal for made-to-measure clothing. You really have no excuse anymore to wear clothes that don't fit. Carter.
You know what's a really good excuse, Justin?
What's that?
It is like when you just can't keep up with the world of sports. We're both washed, entering our 30s, and you know, it's just hard to, you know, there's just constantly content and stories pouring out there.
Preach.
And following a team you love in 2019, it can be time consuming. Trying to follow everything happening in sports is nigh impossible, even in my younger days. Scrolling through every app and visiting every website on a daily basis is impossible. That's why I subscribe to Axios Sports, the best free daily newsletter in the land. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you'll get the best stories from the NBA and the NFL to cricket and ping pong and everything in between. Again, I can't buy that ping pong's on there very often. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. Super simple to sign up, and again, it's free. sports.axios.com. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the friend sharing an amazing link with your buddies. Imagine being the first to the party instead of having to just react with GIFs. You'll be the one creating all those reactions. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up on the day before it even begins. And best of all, there's no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free, curated sports content delivered directly to you. Sign up at sports.axios.com. Again, try for free 99 at sports.axios.com.
Know what I love about our fans and our listeners is they stick with us, man. We did not do a great job at the last ad read, but they believe in us. They believe in us that we're going to get better, and they believe in this Cavs team that when they have their rough nights, they're going to bounce back. They're going to learn from it. They're going to grow. We're all growing together, and that's just a beautiful thing. Before we continue with the Cavs, I just want to mention this because I do find it interesting. So the Nets lost to the Timberwolves by 1 point in overtime. Kyrie 58-7 without a single turnover.
Yeah, he's very good. And
but are they empty stats, Carter? Because it came at a loss.
Who's to say? You know, I'm kind of excited for, even as someone who doesn't particularly like Kyrie as a dude. Wish he would stop hurting my feelings for no reason about 2016. I do think there's this general underrating of him happening because Boston is so ugly.
Right.
And it's like, I just wonder.
And you have so much media there. I mean, when you piss off like the birthplace or the heart of such a large part of mainstream sports media, that's going to happen. And, you know, it is going to be a little easier to like him as long as he's not saying something that hurts me deeply.
Yeah, and I just think
honestly, at some point last year, I kind of got over the whole Kyrie thing. Like, I just think he's a good player, but I don't really have the same connection that I had with him in the past.
Lying.
I'm lying to myself. I'm lying to myself more than I'm lying to you. But at least with him,
before,
with the Nets.
Before we pivot, I just want to say, like, this is. I just lost my train of thought. Fuck.
I was just going to say, at least with him being on the Nets, you're not going to have the same annoying fans that really taint any good game.
Yeah, because there aren't any Nets fans.
Exactly. Thank you for getting to the punchline for me. I really do appreciate that, buddy.
I got it. I figured out what I was going to say. The enmity towards Kyrie has gone so far that we think the Celtics losing him and Horford and replacing them with Enes Kanter and Kemba Walker is at the least breaking even. That's how ugly it got. They think he was that damaging to team chemistry. And by the way, Kemba, 12 points, 4 of 18 from the field in a 14-point loss.
Yeah, so. And Jason Tatum shot 36% from the floor, so there you go.
Hey, I thought he excised the Kobe from his game.
Yeah,
but he didn't excise the Rudy Gay.
I don't know. I think adding a point guard that shoots more, passes less, and does all of that even worse, I thought that was going to work out for them. So we'll see how that goes.
Eight total assists in the starting lineup from your Boston Celtics. The Gordon Hayward looked good.
Hey, that's how many Kyrie had in the game. Oh, speaking of point guards that suck, Carter, talk me off the deli ledge.
Oh, I mean, it's fine. Just relax.
No, I know.
Brandon Knight also sucks.
So here's the thing. I thought Dele actually made some good passes, and he had a couple that were a little bit off, but I mean, that happens with any bench player. That 3-point shot, it might be a more compact form, but my God, the results are ugly. Like that hits the backboard with menace. It is.
Yeah, or it doesn't hit anything with menace.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it's ugly. Ideally, he'll figure it out and clean up the form a little bit and actually, make some of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he shot okay at the World Cup for Australia. So I think there's some hope. I do think that if he can make this new and not improved thus far form work, mm-hmm. then it will make him a significantly better player, because right. that hitch was just kind of devastating to his ability to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just worth dealing with it for a minute, Justin. You don't need to freak out.
You know what? I'm going to tell you what I was doing there. I'm going to pull back the curtain. I knew that if I just complained about Delhi without any real substance to it, that you would go on for a while just shooting me down. And I needed some time to stall so that I could search to see if there was anybody that addressed what happened to Brandon Knight and why he didn't play any minutes tonight. That has not yet occurred. One thing I'm curious about, though, with Brandon Knight, and I think this might actually make some sense, is with so many guards that they do have to play, I wonder if some nights you're going to have Delhi in the full backup role, and then other nights Delhi isn't going to play as many minutes, or maybe Jordan Clarkson loses minutes, or Kevin Porter Jr. Loses his minutes, and Brandon Knight comes in and plays a full backup role. Rather than those guys splitting minutes, it'll be, okay, this night you're going to get your 15 to 17 minutes off the bench. Other nights you're not going to play. And this way you're actually playing in that role rather than never finding your rhythm. I wonder if that's kind of what's going on there. Maybe he has an injury we didn't know about. But I did find it interesting that he didn't play any minutes, especially with Delhi kind of struggling from the floor.
Yeah, I think ultimately you just have to pick between those two. Like, right. I don't think there's really going to be room for two of those in town. Like, it's Knight or Delhi, and there's no in between, because if you play them both together, then you're just totally wearing it down. So I'm fine with Delhi getting the early nod. I think he's a way better ball mover, and I think he understands offense much better than Knight does. It's just the whole execution part that's a little lacking.
Yeah, maybe Beilein looked and he's like, saw what Jordan Clarkson and Kevin Porter Jr. were doing together and was like, I don't need more of that.
Yeah,
we do not need another guy doing that, because we're having enough trouble getting quality looks up.
Yeah, I'm just a fan of, like, on a team as young as this with as many 19 and 20 year olds that are going to be getting big minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm just on team adult in the room, and like Delhi is that for sure. I think there is a 0% chance that if this team were to start figuring it out, that he would stay in the role he's in, because I think Knight is a better player.
Mm-hmm.
But for this version of this Cavs team, I think he just makes more sense, unless he performs so poorly that you kind of have no choice, which is possible. He was pretty bad shooting tonight.
For what they need, they probably don't have anyone on the roster that can actually deliver what they need from that position. But Delhi kind of fits that bill more than anybody else, which I think is the point that you're making there.
Yeah, 100%. He just is a grown-up who's played on good teams.
Now, the same qualifiers that we had about the Cavs offense struggling a little bit at times against a defense that was very good last season, I think the same can apply on the other end. The Magic, conveniently, they finished eighth defensively and bottom eight, or eighth from the bottom offensively. I thought there were actual times in this game where the Cavs did look good defensively. It kind of matched the entire flow of the game, where you had stretches where, oh my God, there were some really bad defensive lapses. But for individual defense, I actually was impressed at times with both Jetty and Sexton tonight. I thought that they kind of stuck with their man's well. Jeez, I don't know why I had like Toronto Tourette's there. But I did think they struggled. Everyone struggled getting through screens. That is still an issue. There were times where guys were lost off ball. But individual defense, I thought that those guys did a good job. Do you have any kind of takes on the defense tonight overall, or do you think that this is just kind of one game against an offense that is also trying to figure things out.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like we got to watch it for a while. I mean, I don't think they're going to be a good defense. I don't think that they played particularly good defense in this game. But I do think you're right. I think there were a couple moments where Sexton kind of got up in Fournier's chest. I'm sure you remember that possession that I'm referencing. Correct. Where Fournier was kind of like trying to like gently back it out, and Sexton was like, nope, I'm not letting you do that. I really like that on-ball aggression. Man, this team's just got to learn how to navigate picks. I know like they're already operating at a length deficit playing Clarkson at the three and playing this small backcourt. They have to get better at navigating screens. And until they do, I mean, it's a ball screen league. And until they do, they're going to keep giving up easy layups that their bigs can't cover.
I want to make it clear, because I really don't want to be throwing qualifiers on this all year. And if I'm no longer operating with an implied qualifier, I will let you guys know. But when I make comments like that, I'm talking about working towards being a bottom three defense versus the worst defense in the history of the NBA.
Like, nice to have low bars.
Right. When you have this many young guys out there, you're never going to be a good defense. There are going to be tons of lapses. These guys aren't physically mature. And the veterans that they do have glaring holes on the defensive end of the floor. This is not going to be a good defensive team. They have new coaches. There's a million different things that you can point to. But what I just kind of liked was that there was effort on that end. They're not dying on screens. They're not always hedging properly, or they're not going under when they should. But the individual defense, at least, I thought that the effort was there, and there were some good plays. There was good anticipation at time. They generated some steals. Jetty poked the ball away a few times. That was nice to see. My God, did Jetty have a bad third quarter? I don't know if some of that could be attributed to him just going so long before seeing the court again after starting so well. But my God, yeah, he made some really bad decisions there, clanked a couple open threes. I was actually a little disappointed. So after you dropped off the last podcast, and after we stopped recording, Spencer and I talked for a little bit longer after that. And we were, A, feeling bad that we didn't talk enough about Sexton, and B, he was talking a little bit about how Jetty was looking in practice. And he was saying that Jetty seems to hit pull-up threes very consistently. He shoots it well off the dribble. But anytime that they do a catch and shoot, the form really breaks down. And that was something that I was looking for in this game. And my God, is it true. I mean, he hit two kind of at the end of the game here. But there just isn't that consistency as a catch and shoot guy. And it's great that he can hit it in other situations, but for the role that he's likely going to have with this team, he needs to get more consistency as a catch-and-shoot player, because, I mean, he's probably not going to be a starter for this team long-term, no matter what. But for him to actually kind of realize his potential, that has to be a major part of his game.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Fedor predicted that he'd lose his starting spot to Dylan Windler before the end of the year. In his bold predictions column.
Were you there for my bold prediction where I said Windler makes an all-rookie team?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, well, you know what? I appreciate the honesty, because, I mean, I can't exactly get on you for not listening to everything I say.
Because you don't listen to anything I say, and that's kind of why we work.
Yeah, I mean, this glass house is pretty, but I just can't really throw stones from it.
Do you remember? I remember Dimitri Martin used to have a bit about how, don't throw stones if you're in a glass house or whatever. And he's just like, how about no stone throwing? That's just shitty behavior. Unless you are trapped in a glass house, in which case, throw that stone, get out.
You know what? Know who doesn't have a shitty behavior, Carter? Our listeners.
Wow.
I'm really impressed. I did. So our boy, Kendon, of the Ad Read podcast, commented on my little pre-podcast recording that I did basically after midnight. That was a real long night for your boy. I got caught up. So we were doing a fantasy draft and ESPN's app crashed and simmed through the entire draft after six rounds. So we tried to copy the six rounds, but you had to delay an hour. So I was doing that while trying to edit the podcast. So like midnight, I was recording that and trying not to disturb my wife too much. So that's why it sounded like I was reading from just
Yeah, it's the Carter NPR voice, except you just sounded depressed.
Yeah, I sounded like it was a hostage situation, which it was not. But I do appreciate everybody that did send in a review. We had a few more people join our Discord chat, which is really, really awesome. I want to give a shout out to those guys. And you know what? It does mean a lot to me, because the kind of community that's forming here, I don't understand it, but I sure as hell appreciate it, because it's really, really cool that we can interact with our listeners and they give us feedback. And the fact that people cared about my safety and well-being and responded by actually leaving ratings, reviewing, subscribing, and all that jazz, that was really nice.
Yeah, but you guys aren't so bad. Yeah.
Carter, you're so concise. I think that's a good place to wrap it up. So thanks again to all of our listeners. I'm just happy to be talking Cavs basketball again. Carter, you're off next week, right? Do you want to have some parting words for our listeners?
Yeah. Watch World of Warcraft esports at BlizzCon. Like, I know you're going to. But yeah, I'll be gone for the next couple pods. Justin will have to find guests in my stead. And then I'll be a much better podcast co-host for the next month until my daughter is born, in which case I will be a total piece of shit all over again.
Man, it's
you really signed up for a tough business relationship here.
Hey, I've told you, anytime you need off, we can make it work. The next few weeks are going to be a little bit interesting, because we got you at BlizzCon next week, and then I'm in Cleveland the following one. So we'll figure it out. We'll find a way to make it work. But yeah, we will have consistent coverage. We are back to two pods a week. Really excited to be talking Cavs. I was giddy at times in this game.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's just nice.
The fun moments are so fun that, I mean, I think it's going to be another case of not really watching the scoreboard and just kind of watching the games and the play-by-play progressions. But I think they're going to steal some games this year. I think they're going to be fun. The good moments from Garland were really, really damn fun. I thought Colin Sexton looked good. Hopefully we have a lot to talk about and a lot of things to enjoy this season. So thanks again to our listeners. Thank you to Carter. Going to miss you over the next week, but we'll figure things out. Remember, guys, if you want to support the podcast, the best way to do so is by leaving a rating, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of our exclusive Discord chat, a safe spot to talk Cavs and get yelled at by only Cavs fans instead of the general mess of Twitter, you can send a screenshot of that review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. You can also send us mailbag questions or feedback or anything to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and be more than happy to respond to that. So thanks again, guys. Until next time, go Cavs.